We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
That's why I don't get why they're asking. Tell me about you. Yeah, well, I wrote a document that tells you about me and it's right in front of you. Like, why do you need me to do this again?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, our wonderful listeners. It's time for our favorite part of the podcast every single week. This is what keeps us coming back, really. The Shoot Your Shot shout out. This is where we celebrate you guys, our incredible listeners. The reason we do this, you've gone out there, you've shot your shot, and you've got an update for us. Em, this week, we've got a special shout out, I think. This is for Savannah, who's an Interview Academy alumni.
Yes, she sent us an awesome message and said, "Hello, just messaging to give you some feedback on your Interview Academy program. I used it to apply an interview for my dream job. It was an internal application at my current workplace, and I was successful. I was also told that this recruitment was particularly competitive. When offered the job, the hiring manager and several panel members told me that they were seriously impressed with my interview skills. I even used my interview preparation for one of my best bits. I was asked, tell me about a time you faced a setback at work and what actions did you take after the situation? I spoke about my previous interview, how I wasn't successful and received feedback that my interview answers were not detailed enough. So for this application, I focused on improving my skills through using the program." So she said, "Hey, a time where I made shit happen was I struggled in an interview, so I found Interview Academy and put in the work, and now I'm here killing it in this interview."
How good is that? I just love that not only did Interview Academy help you with the interview, but it also like gave you another best bit.
So good.
By doing the Academy. That's such a layered meta thing. That's the coolest thing ever.
I feel like this is a hack for like when they always ask the dreaded, what's your weakness question, and it just spins people out.
Don't say job interviews.
No, don't do that.
In Savannah's case, she's like, it was a setback at work, and like, you know, they've specifically kind of asked about it. If you were like, oh, job interviews are my only weakness, it's just such a silly cop-out one. Pick an actual weakness.
What if you've been like our listeners and just put in so much work, though, to get better at it? How is that not a genuine improvement in a weak spot?
Yeah, I just think you're being a bit tricky because it's obviously got nothing to do with the day-to-day job. Like, that's a humility question. That's a self-awareness question. And sure, you're giving a self-awareness thing, but it's also like, particularly, can you imagine they're sitting in front of you going, you're actually very good at interviews. And so that not only feels like a bit of a lie, but you're also not giving me anything that's a weakness about your job as well. I don't know. I don't love it. But that's not the case for Savannah because it was a setback that she was specifically asked about. And she got feedback. It's incredible. Love it. Now, if you want to check out Interview Academy and all the wonderful magic that it did for Savannah, then you need to go to our website, interviewboss.com.au. You can have a look at the Interview Academy, and you can also have a look at my one-on-one interview coaching sessions. If you maybe have something that you're a little bit stuck with, you already know what you need to do and you've done a little bit of prep, but you're a little bit caught in a particular area, then maybe a one-on-one session is right for you. You can compare them and work out which is right. Interviewboss.com.au. Link is in the show notes.
Perfect. Today, we are touching on an absolute crowd pleaser. We're talking about the career story or the tell me about yourself part of the interview. I feel like when people tell us that we've helped, it's either in the best bits or the storytelling, tell me about yourself. It's very popular, high demand, great success rate. It's highly popular because so many people are so confused about it. So when they hear us talk about it, they're so relieved to have some clarity on it.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's so, so important. If you nail your intro, your career story, your tell me about yourself, you just will do the rest of the interview so much better because you feel so confident. The interviewers are like, wow, that was impressive. Like you've just started on the absolute best foot. It's first impression 101, I think, is your career story. Now, we have two episodes about this. It's called So ... Tell Me About Yourself. And then there's the same thing except part two, where we go into exactly what you should be covering, where people normally go wrong, like guidelines for kind of working it out, how you go about it, all of that. This one is a little bit different because I find that even though we have those two episodes, I still see this so commonly in my interview coaching sessions and also just talking to people in general, is that people get really confused about this intro. So let's clarify. When your interviewer is asking you this question, they already know where you've worked and what your job titles were. It's on your resume. And I think that's what a lot of job seekers realize. They go, well, yeah, I know. That's why I don't get why they're asking. Tell me about you. Yeah, well, I wrote a document that tells you about me and it's right in front of you. Like, why do you need me to do this again?
Because they want the color in there.
Yes. What they don't know is how that series of facts actually played out. They need the story that goes along with it. It's just dates and job titles and kind of facts of what your responsibilities were on a page. They don't have the story to piece that together.
Think about, I have an analogy that's not dating. Picture,
great,
there's been a murder. The investigator comes in and they're like, yep, here's the pieces of evidence. There's 17 bits. Okay, good luck. All right. They need to know what was found first. Was it the knife or was it the bloody footprints so that they can piece together the series of events? They have the facts, but they need the in-between information.
Yep. The story of how it actually happened. If you were kind of playing that out in court, you would have to say, here's how we think it happened. It's not just like, well, we know that there's this matches this. It'd be like, well, what does that mean? Like you have to tell a story with it. Yeah, but I think that's working. We love our analogies on this podcast. We're really always trying to paint a picture for our listeners. But the reason we're doing this episode is because I think it's really hard to understand what I mean by the story if we don't give an example. So we've got a real in-depth example. And because I had a request from someone about this recently, it's a healthcare related example because I don't want our healthcare brothers and sisters to be feeling left out.
Yeah, I feel like they often are because it's a bit niche and the healthcare game's its own world, but we're looking after you today.
So let's do a little recap. What should your career story be covering? What are the things that it needs to do?
Explain your career pathway, motivations throughout your career. Did you take time off for parental leave? Did you
love this job because of this?
Yeah.
And you hated that part of that?
Did this job make you realize that you want to avoid that sector of the industry altogether?
That's right.
Your personality and why this job stood out, why you want to apply.
Why you have applied. Yep, absolutely. A lot of people kind of separate the why you have applied and they wait to be asked that question because they think that they're two different questions. You should always be doing them all together because I just don't think you can do a proper career story without explaining why you're there in front of them. That's where it has to finish.
You've got to wrap it in a bow and that's what's led me here.
And you're like, oh, and currently I'm doing blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, well, currently you're interviewing. So what do you mean you're currently doing? Like it feels weird to not finish on why you've applied. So that's what we should be covering.
Interview Academy might be the perfect thing you're looking for. Interview Academy is a course Sarah has been working on after delivering hundreds of interview coaching sessions and getting incredible results.
But unfortunately, I'm only one gal living in an Aussie time zone who works a day job, and all of that mean I can't help everyone one-on-one, which drove me crazy.
So for over a year, Sarah's been working on turning all of those amazing lessons into an on-demand, step-by-step interview prep course. We hold your hand through the entire thing.
And you can do it at home in your own time and get instant access right now. Check it out at interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy. The link is in the show notes. Now, Em, we have two different versions of the same story in front of us. Now, you and I are going to do one each, and we're going to be these different characters. Now, we have the same exact resume, identical, the same exact experience, but the stories are very different. So I want you guys to hear how different this is between each other and how if you were just looking at a resume, you would not know which one of these was the case. And it makes for a very different person in front of you and potentially even a different decision about whether they're the right fit for the role, depending on how it goes. So, Em, let's do version number one. You're up.
Yeah. So after graduating from university, I started working as a physiotherapist in the public hospital. And early on, I really found myself drawn to neurological, respiratory, and oncology caseloads. That's where I felt most energized. So then I stepped into a senior neurological physiotherapy role. I was working mostly with stroke and complex neuro patients. I supervised a team, managed data, did compliance, I drove continuous quality improvement, and I did a lot of enhanced service delivery. It was a really rewarding role. I learned a lot and especially loved working in such a collaborative, multidisciplinary team. So leaving that position was a really tough decision, but with some hospital restructures, the role changed a lot. So I found myself ready to explore something new and broaden my skill set. So then I took on various casual and contract roles in areas like virtual care, palliative care, research, even education, which helped me sort of expand my skills and knowledge. So then I moved into the disability sector, taking on a team leader position at ABC organization, where I continue to work today. So in this role, I lead a team. I've got clinical operations that I oversee. I guide the quality. I lead service improvement projects. I really love that variety, the flexibility, you know, being able to influence change and build strong relationships. So after 5 years or so in this current role, I've sort of realized that there's limited room for growth within the company. So I've been thinking a lot and I've decided that the aspects of my work that I really enjoy are supporting others to achieve shared goals, promoting continuous learning and development, educating others, and improving systems and services. So that's what sparked my decision to shift career direction, which is what led me to apply for the educator role. It felt like such a strong match with what I'm looking for, and I'm really excited by the opportunity to learn more.
So, thoughts? What's our kind of takeaways? She's looking to not be clinical anymore, by the sounds of it.
Yes. And she was able to reflect on the parts of the job that she actually liked. And actually, they weren't so much the health stuff. It was the leadership and the teaching. And
yeah, absolutely. And the reason is I'm getting out of what I don't like. But it's almost like being stuck without progression has just led to this kind of bigger question. Instead of just going, oh, I'll go somewhere else that has more progression, she's taken a step back to go, hold on, what am I doing? Where am I actually going? What do I want to keep doing in my career? So it's like a deliberate kind of decision to go towards this area.
And if I was the interviewer and she didn't mention all of that, I'd be really confused why she was applying for the education role if she's done such hands-on healthcare.
Like operations and then managing a massive team, like stepping away from all of that and not having all of that responsibility anymore. Like you're clarifying a lot of those details in being in an educator role. Now, I'm going to do version two. Imagine I am a different person, even though I've got the exact same resume, and I'm hoping that we paint a little bit of a different picture. So after I finished uni, I began working as a physio in a public hospital. And early in my career, I was always really drawn to roles where I was able to work with patients on a longer term basis. I really felt energized when I was able to see that progression over the longer term. I then stepped into a senior neurological physio role, working primarily with stroke and complex neuro patients. I supervised a team. I looked after the data and compliance. I did quality improvement and different service delivery projects. It was a role that I really enjoyed and I learned a lot. One of the highlights for me was contributing to a few research projects and really seeing that kind of longer term contribution to the field as a whole. That gives me a lot of kind of satisfaction and makes me really proud of my career so far. As much as I enjoyed it, I ultimately knew that an acute care environment really wasn't where I wanted to be long term. So the hospital even though it was giving me so much, really wasn't where I wanted to be. So I took on a few different casual and contract roles. I was trying to find what suited me, and it helped me to expand my experience and knowledge. And then I got the opportunity to move into the disability sector. Over the years, I've worked my way up, and I'm in a team leader position at ABC organization. And that's where I am still today. So I lead a team, I oversee the operations, I do quality and service improvement projects, and I really love the variety and developing my team. But most importantly, it's the opportunity to influence change and to actually improve things. I've been in my role for almost 5 years now, and unfortunately, what it doesn't give me is flexibility because I'm still very much clinical. As much as I really love the clinical work and I really love seeing the impact with patients, and that's something that is really important to me, I am really looking for a position that allows me to still have that impact, but having a little bit more autonomy over where I work and how I work. So when I came across the educator role with your team, it stood out straight away. I can support other people to improve patient outcomes and stay connected to a clinical context by going to site visits. But the flexibility that's really built into this role is exactly what I'm looking for, and I'm excited about the opportunity.
Great. That was detailed too.
Right? It's not like it's better or worse. It's just totally different motivations.
In my head, I was like, did you want this to be the one that is bad? Because it wasn't. It was like focused on different things, but it was just as informative on where their mind's at and what's led them to this decision.
Yes, but neither one of them are bad. I just want to show people that if you left it to someone's assumption and go, oh, I'm looking for a new challenge, and you just don't fill in any of that detail, or you just say, oh, I just saw the role and I was interested. Like, you're not explaining these things. You're not actually painting the picture, or you just stick to facts. I did this, then I did this, then I did this. And you're not explaining your reasons. That there are so many different reasons. It's not obvious from the outside. Like, the same facts on paper, the same resume could have completely different explanations for it in front of them. And hey, I love clinical and I want to keep being clinical, but I need flexibility. And then you might be thinking, oh, actually, this role isn't real. I know we said flexible on the ad, but it's not really that flexible. I'm actually going to need you to travel a lot. Like, that might rule that person out for that role, but they needed to be honest about it because that genuinely is why they're applying. They need a role that does have flexibility. And potentially the other thing that they mentioned, like being able to influence change and actually improve things, maybe this is the kind of role where everything's kind of already built and they just need to roll out some existing programs over and over again. And so hearing about the fact that they like contributing to the field as a whole with their research, how they get meaning from seeing differences and change or whatever, maybe this is not the right role for them because maybe they're not going to be able to do that in this role. Whereas the other person stepping away from clinical and, you know, supporting others to achieve shared goals and upholding kind of clinical excellence or whatever, they might be really cool with delivering the same stuff over and over because that's what they really enjoy doing. There's leadership there. They're able to help people.
It makes me realize how much the resume doesn't tell. Like, all the resume would say is that it would show you began as a physio in a public hospital. It probably wouldn't really mention all of the wards and stuff that you were like maybe, but not in detail and what you loved.
That's right. It doesn't paint the picture of what you liked about it. No.
No. And then it would have just said that you went to disability.
Yeah.
And then that would have seemed like a bit of a jump. And then now you're applying for this. Like, there would be question marks everywhere.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so I'm hoping that this is a different version of going about explaining the career story. Please go and listen to the other two episodes because if you have no idea how to structure something or how to build it to something that sounds a bit like that, then you need, you know, the bones. But I know that we've also done like shortcut versions before where we've done like real overviews. And I didn't want to do that in this one because I think a lot of people don't ever hear a full actual intro. They're not short because how could you be short and still cover all of that? How could you?
People are often worried about spending too much time talking about this, but like, if you're middle-aged, we're trying to sum up an entire history of working. So
yes,
you're allowed to take 5 minutes.
Yes,
truly.
You are. You were allowed to take time. I don't know how long those were that we actually did, but that is the perfect length. Like, there's not too much detail there whatsoever. It's, you need to explain all of those things to kind of go through your career. What we haven't done though is talk about every single casual role, every single contract role in depth. We didn't talk about all the different titles that you had in the hospital. Like, you can chunk some together in order to make sure that you keep the story moving. You want to be talking about like the key points, and like, if you've got something to say about that other role that you had before your team leader role, sure, mention it. If it's important to the story, then mention it. But yeah, I'm hoping that that helps with people understanding how different a story can be with the same experience, and also how all of those things that you mentioned might relate to you being more suited for the job or less suited for the job.
Yeah. You might end up saying, okay, say if I was going for a 9-to-5 job and part of my reason was I'm really starting to get over the shift work, you know, I'm looking for a bit of a break. And then they actually go, oh, well, 3 times a week you are on the morning rotation roster. But I left that out because I thought, oh, it sounds a bit superficial to say I'm sick of waking up early, but that's a genuine reason why I am looking for a new job. Well, that's not helpful for anyone.
Yes. And if you're already overthinking that and you're spiraling about, oh, well, I can't say anything because it might rule me out for the job. Well, we've got some mindset episodes about that as well. Imagine not getting the job because your fake reason for why you were looking didn't align. And then you then tell the truth in the next one and that rules you out. Like, the only way to go about it is to be honest about what you're actually genuinely looking for and what you're excited about. And that will give you plus, 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 plus for the right thing. And it might rule you out for the wrong thing, but that's a good thing because it's true. Imagine there's no flex. That person doesn't want a job with no flex. They already have a job with no flex.
Yeah. Honesty is the best policy.
And honestly, just because of you being selfish, not for any like higher reason.
Yeah.
Just because it's going to work out better for you, honestly. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you happen to be listening to this. Or better yet, send this episode or the show to someone else who might need us. That's how we can hit the charts and help people all around the world. For more advice, inspiration, and maybe some behind the scenes, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss and chuck us a follow. Em, can you believe we are in our 3rd season of Interview Boss?
Not really. It's crazy. But that means there are over 90 episodes we've made.
Oh my God. Scrolling through all of our episode titles, you might miss an episode that actually is exactly what you're looking for.
Yes, we get so many messages of people asking us to do an episode on something and we're like, we already have. So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are best suited to you. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, and job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
Yes, and we even have a playlist for if you have an interview like tomorrow and you need just our most recommended episodes, just the ones you really need between now and then.
Exactly. It is all there for you. You can browse by category. Check out the playlist at www.interviewboss.com.au/podcast.